You're listening to Donuts and Tap Cow.
Two great tastes that taste better together.
Welcome to episode 14. We are going to talk today about the Broken Trinity Pandora's Box miniseries, which just wrapped up. And we have some reasons why we think you need to pick up this when the trade comes out or reread it again if you already have the issues. And some retailers might be able to get all six issues for you. There's always the Top Cow website as well. First, though, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Westfield Comics. Westfield Comics, located in Madison, Wisconsin, with two locations on the west side and near downtown on the east side. And Westfield Comics would like to remind you that May 7th is Free Comic Book Day.
Woo woo!
And the east side store is opening an hour early at 10 a.m. just to make sure that customers get a chance at some donuts with their Top Cow to open up the morning. We'll have a table there at the east side location.
I'm assuming everyone that listens will be picking up the, I don't even remember the title of it, Darkness 2 video game tie-in book that I don't remember the name of.
Top Cow has a Free Comic Book Day issue. We will have that. We'll be near that with our table. We'll also have donuts for the early arrivers and some other goodies and giveaways, we hope. So if you're in or near Madison, take the trip. Free Comic Book Day should be an event. I know we also have a pretty nice slate of artists that are scheduled for the day at both locations, east and west side. I know the east side location is going to feature an appearance by Steve Bryant.
Heck yeah. And Micah Farriter and Rochelle Rosenberg will be here also.
So definitely a good reason to come to Madison on Free Comic Book Day in just a few weeks from this time of this recording. We have donuts today, Josh. Donuts today are from Metcalf Century in Madison, Wisconsin. We've got some Danish and some sprinkle donuts and some French crullers. And if you want to see what they look like, we're going to start putting up pictures of these donuts on our new Facebook page.
Woo woo, Facebook.
So if you're on Facebook, then come on over and find us. There's a long title to get there if you're going to type it in, but if you just go into the search and put in donuts with an O-U-G-H and Top Cow in there and hit search, it'll find our page. Like us and you'll be linked in, and we're going to be putting regular updates. We'll put up trivia. We'll put up contests. We'll let you know what's going on and hope to have some banter. We've already had some pretty high-profile visitors to our page.
Yes. Troy Hickman of most recently Twilight Guardian fame actually answered the question about the Pilot Season Volume 2 trade paperback, which is, it was solicited, and he showed artwork, or showed a link, gave a link to the artwork, and it is awesome, but it hasn't been released, so I'm a little sad about that. But maybe if we all pester the right people enough, we'll get that sooner than later.
Well, we hope somebody with some influence might listen at some point and think about that, because I am interested in reading a lot more of those. Troy also was kind to give a link to that Pilot Season issue, which is on Newsrama, because I was looking to get a digital download, and he gave a link to where it's posted free. So you could always search on Newsrama to read that first Twilight Guardian Pilot Season book. I've been buying it in the floppies. I've really enjoyed it. It's been a nice read, and when the trade comes out, I think we'll talk about it a little more in depth.
Oh, yeah.
Also, in some other news, we got an interesting tweet yesterday, and it was from Philip at Top Cow.
Uh-oh, I missed that.
He wanted to share his favorite donut with us. So
sweet.
We like to add to the Donut Hall of Fame, and I tell you what, he hit a home run on this one. I have heard of these, but I've never had one. It's Top Pots Old Fashioned Glazed, and he describes it as a sugary, decadent confection. And Top Pot is one of the really top donut shops in the country, located in Seattle, Washington, and pretty famous.
And they don't deliver, because after he was tweeting about it so much during Emerald City Comic Con, I actually looked him up. They don't deliver. I was heartbroken.
It is. That's pretty sad. It's kind of hard to find a donut delivery service online. I search occasionally, and the only ones who are really consistently doing mail order are the ones that create the low fat, no fat versions. So I'm wondering if that's got something to do with shelf life or something.
No, I can't imagine it would be. I don't have quite as much of a problem with low fat, but considering the ingredients, every donut should have fat in it. Anything that's no fat, just there's something wrong there. Well, donut wise, I mean, some things naturally that don't have fat, fine. Donuts naturally have fat.
It kind of, it's part of their essence, I suppose. Yeah. The fat and the sugar,
mm-hmm.
And comes up good. So this week, the week that we are recording, features the sixth issue and therefore the conclusion of the Broken Trinity Pandora's Box miniseries. And one of the things I wanted to talk about before we start talking about this miniseries, and in particular issue number six, is we've had some feedback from listeners about how detailed we can be when we walk through books. And we definitely include spoilers when we talk about books. And sometimes we warn, and sometimes we don't warn as well as we should. But I wanted to talk a little bit before we started about why we spoil the books and how we spoil the books. And yes, it's true that we do review key plot elements, and we'll point out some interesting twists or important ideas that move the story forward. But we don't do a word by word. We don't really review everything. But the goal is, it's designed to do a couple of things. First of all, we're really hoping that people don't listen to a spoiler episode without having read the book. And so therefore, the spoiler is useful in reminding those who have read the book about how the story went or maybe an element. Even more than that, though, is to update those who maybe didn't follow a certain piece of the story. And that's where our interaction back and forth comes, Josh, is that I get to understand these stories better when I get a chance to kick them around with somebody and know a little more about what they're talking about, or maybe I'll miss a point that you'll get from some Top Cow history I haven't followed, or maybe I'll come up with a twist on something that you didn't quite think of yet, and we're hoping to make this a conversation between all three of us, Josh, me, and you, the listener. And to do that, it really requires us to dig into the story a little bit. Otherwise, you might as well just read the solicitation.
Yeah, and spoiler, well, and anything online too, really. But yeah, because there have been instances where I've read stuff, and then you and I were talking about it, and I'm like, oh, I didn't pick up on that. I want to say the best example, not including the Broken Trinity Pandora's Box number six one we talked about right before we started recording. I don't remember which issue it was. Issue three or four of Artifacts, where Nottingham was busted out of prison and the guard was reading Robin Hood. Now, admittedly, it's not a big plot point or anything, but it was one of those little things that I don't know that I really caught the first time around. And then it was, you know, oh, that's cool. And then it made my enjoyment go up even more. But I wouldn't have had that if it wasn't for interacting with someone else.
And that's a big key. And there's something that I have found over the years, is that a comic story is enjoyed more the second and third and fourth and fifth time you read it. You enjoy it in a different way because you already know the main story. But there's so much more to reading a comic than just knowing the story or knowing the conclusion or knowing the spoiler. It's all about the immersion experience. There are nuances in the artwork. There are little details in the background, like you mentioned with the book. Most people would probably not even notice it. But when you do see something like that, it's pretty rewarding that it's something a little extra that brings you into the whole story. And it's not just, you know, if it was all stories for story's sake, then I don't know that we would be in the comic business. You know, we talk about the storyline and what happens, but you've got to see the artwork and how it interacts with the words and how the words and dialogue are presented to really get most of it. So I always find that the second and third reading is even more enjoyable, especially when I get a chance to talk about it with someone.
Yeah, I would like to point out, though, usually that's, at least it should be enjoyable with multiple readings. Otherwise, it's just meh. And, you know, I mean.
Well, and that's part of the risk, because I've had some meh books that I've heard people rave about. So I went back and read it and went, oh, that's what that went.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, though, if you read it a second and third time and you just aren't getting that yeah. time around, it's kind of maybe, you know, overhyped.
Point well taken. Unless it's, you know, written by Grant Morrison, which needs four or five before it really starts pulling together.
I don't think now is the time for me to start talking about Grant Morrison.
No, and that's not what the that's not what the show's all about, unless he's going to roll over to a Top Cow book anytime soon. We're talking about Broken Trinity Pandora's Box.
I was also going to say real quick, though. Otherwise, I mean, I could just, I mean, we could do, like, books on tape, but, you know, that kind of, again, defeats the purpose of pictures. But if anyone wants me to do comic books on tape, you can email us at dtcpodcast@gmail.com. Or let me know on Twitter, Josh Crawley. Yeah.
We'll give you a dramatic interpretation of something if you'd like. That might be a fun episode.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Something with lots of fun sound effects.
We can get people to read at Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to see what we can do.
We'll kick that one around. So the Broken Trinity Pandora's Box was written by Brian Edward Hill and Rob Levin. The art in books number 1 and 2 is by Alessandro Vitti. And Alessandro also did partial art in issue 3. And in issue 3, the art was taken over by Facundo Parcio. And I apologize for any mispronunciation that may take place. But Facundo also did the artwork in issues 4, 5, and 6. And they seem to come from kind of the same school of art as artists. Very sketchy, pretty dynamic, and nicely detailed, but you get that kind of pencil sketchy feel. One thing I did notice, though, is that the line work is fairly simple, so a lot of the contours and the musculature is put in by the colorist more than by the penciler and inker. And the colorist was various colorists from Imaginary Friends Studios through a lot of its Sunny Go. And letters for the entire series are done by the man, Troy Pateri.
Oh, yeah. Go Troy. The lack of some of the line work with rendering by the colorist without the inks, it's possible, depending on the process, that stuff still could be penciled in, which I don't think sometimes people realize. It'll be like, oh, there's hardly any pencil work there. Well, that doesn't mean that the penciler didn't necessarily draw a lot of that in and just, you know, tell the inker, oh, don't ink this, but colorist, you know, use these lines as your reference lines.
Well, that makes sense. So,
not that you were saying, oh, the penciler didn't do any work.
Oh, no, the penciler did a lot of work.
Yeah, it's just that sometimes I don't think people realize stuff like that, and just wanted to point that out to you guys.
Excellent. I love this process.
I'm nice like that.
Learning that I can get from doing this.
That's actually one of the things I really like about looking at original artwork. I have a few pages. I'm trying to remember. I can't even remember what it was called, but it started out in Milwaukee, the comic art museum thingy. Why can't I remember the name of that? Oh, well, not important. In Milwaukee, it was, I think, the only showing where it had the complete collection, and then after that, they split it up and kind of did a dual tour with it. But I saw a lot of people just reading the strips, and I'm like, really? You're just reading these strips sitting on the wall? Like, no, look at, you know,
you're
the
just
process.
30% of the thing, you know, it's really the whole point.
Yeah, I mean, I was sitting there looking at, you know, stuff that had been whited out, erased, stuff like that, you know, sketched in that wasn't inked. To me, that was the really interesting part. And
that's what's great about an exhibit like that is, I don't know if people realize how much work goes into creating a page of comic art. It's an incredible amount of work. So I guess before we start touching on some of the story elements, which we'll do kind of in a general way, but not real specifically.
Wade.
Yeah, thanks a lot. You've changed the course of this show forever, Wade. But I do have a couple of points that I'd like to make when asking the question, why should I buy this trade or why should I buy this series? And there are a couple, I think, really compelling reasons. Number one, you get to know a lot more about four important artifacts, what they do and who's wielding them. The Ember Stone, the Glacier Stone, Pandora's Box, also known as the Obsidian Stone, and the Blood Sword. And the other point I wanted to make about why to buy this issue number 6 is something that is a quality of all Top Cow books being made right now. They do a really terrific synopsis of the story so far in every issue. And sometimes it really brings you up to speed on the entire series or storyline. Sometimes it really just fills you in on the important stuff from the last issue, but it always sets you up so that you can follow the story and enjoy the book in front of you. And that's why I feel real confident that if I was going to hand somebody Pandora's Box number 5, that they would want to pick up number 6 because they would get enough from the whole process that it would make sense to them. Yeah, so don't wait for the trade if you don't have to.
And I would say, unlike some books from other publishers, it's not maybe the last issue wasn't put together as well as we wanted to, so we're going to use this to clarify and explain the issue. It's not like that.
Not at all.
Though I did run across one of those recently, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. But yeah, these usually are just, they're a good synopsis.
And, so where we picked this up, and just to kind of bring you up to speed, the Broken Trinity starts off with two different stories, really. The story of Gloriana Silver, the wielder of the Ember Stone, and Michael Finn, the... Is it Finnegan? They call him Finn, so here I just reduced it. Michael Finnegan, who's the wielder of the Glacier Stone, and he also comes into possession of the Blood Sword, really before this miniseries starts. And a lot of this takes place in some other books, in the Witchblade series, in the first Broken Trinity series. And so these players are put together, but they get you up to speed really quick on the element of these two. So these two, Glacier Stone and Ember Stone, have been fighting since the beginning of time, and really they exist to destroy the other in a lot of ways. And what's unique about the wielders of all of the artifacts right now, I would say, for the most part, with just a couple exceptions, the wielders have a real grasp of how to wield their artifact, or they're learning how the artifact's not just on autopilot controlling the wielder, which in some past eons or past bearers, that wasn't necessarily the case. So these two are coming together, but in the middle of this, and what kind of sparks them all together, is a cult called the Disciples of Adam. And the Disciples of Adam are bent on changing the world. They come in and they're introduced, and we're introduced to them, and that's where also we're introduced to Alina, where if you're reading Artifacts, you've seen her. And she is part of the Disciples of Adam, and they are on a quest to find the Obsidian Stone, which is basically locked in Pandora's Box. So it's on a big track to... It's kind of a mini Artifacts series in some ways, because you've got two different factions that are all trying to race to the same artifact before the other ones get there.
I had never looked at it like that, but yeah.
And in this case, the Disciples of Adam need to put things together so that they are pursued by the Ember Stone and Glacier Stone, because what we find out when we get to issue, I think, number 5, the Ember Stone and Glacier Stone are basically the keys. They're required to open Pandora's Box. So before we get to number 6, that's basically where we get to. Alina has killed the leader, basically, of the Disciples of Adam.
Bum, bum, bum.
Based on the inspiration that she got from Pandora's box. So she did away with the leader. She became, I don't know if it's because the artifact or Adam felt that she would be more easily manipulated than the other, or that it was just, you know, kind of a Joker moment, you know, where you kill everybody involved so that you're the only one left wielding it.
Strength of will.
That's probably true, because she is willfully strong. In fact, that's one of the reasons why the disciples of Adam have her so close and in such a high rank position, is because of that strength of will. She's the goon coming into this, but she ends up being basically the only one left.
You said that, and all I could think of was Bob the Goon from the 89 Batman movie.
So as we get to number six, we basically have things to a place where Alina has opened Pandora's box to end number five. Gloriana is laid up, having lost a good part of her arm, and she's laid up in a hospital. And Michael Finn is being sent off to pursue and battle Alina, who is just wreaking havoc wherever she goes. Basically, the will of Adam is to create death and chaos and war everywhere, and currently she's in Guatemala, and so he's on the way to fight her in Guatemala. One of the interesting things that is worth picking up, because this fight can be kind of confusing as you get into it. One thing I'll say is this issue is really action-packed, and it really culminates with a lot of fighting and a conclusion. But it's one of those where three-quarters of the page is the fight in the physical world. While Finn is fighting Alina in the physical world, Gloriana is fighting that same protagonist on the spiritual level. I think that's what we're looking at, because before he leaves Gloriana in the hospital,
Wolfgar.
Yeah, before he leaves Gloriana in the hospital, Wolfgar puts a rune stone in her hand with a kind of a sharp-edged R carved into this rune stone, and he says to her, "Face the dragon, tame it. Master it as you master yourself. Use this rune, go inward. If you survive, you will be free." And from there, then, he hooks up with Michael, and he briefs him on the fight that's ahead.
But we don't see him hook up in that sense, if you know what I'm saying. Not saying they didn't, just saying they don't show
it's
and
it's
they
way
don't
off
allude
panel
to it.
They just basically show him soon after takeoff. So the fight takes place on the physical realm between the glacier stone and basically the obsidian stone bearer, while concurrently it takes place in the spiritual world between a dragon and the ember stone. And the ember stone prevails amidst fire, basically, and is able then to physically appear in Guatemala, right as Finn has fought to basically the end of his limits, but has fought well enough that now the Ember Stone can come in and finish the job. And by the end of the book, they prevail, and they have Alina in captivity. And it ends with "Your help, I can change the world," being said from Gloriana. So this is basically the step before, and how Alina ends up being associated with Gloriana so that they can somehow be connected with the survivor, and then we get the artifacts roll.
Just to clarify, because it was a couple seconds ago, and I don't quite remember. Did you say Glory was fighting the Ember Stone? And the Ember Stone won?
Well, I called her the Ember Stone, basically.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
So she was fighting some inner demon. She was fighting a dragon on a spiritual level.
Visualized as her versus the dragon with the stone.
Right. And then that's something I wasn't thinking of. So she was getting full understanding and control of the Ember Stone, which is something that Wolfgar's been pushing her to do for years now, to really master this artifact. And it looks like by the time she finally has, she was able to defeat Alina and bring her into some sort of control.
The evil fold. That was kind of how I was looking at that, was she was basically mastering control of the Ember Stone.
This issue in particular was super action-packed, and really the entire miniseries was well done. If you like a crisp, quick-moving miniseries with a lot of action in it, I really recommend this Pandora's Box. And if you liked Artifact 6 with the kind of action that Wils Portacio had drawn in there, you're really going to enjoy this issue 6 of Pandora's Box.
Yeah, and one of the cool things is, I mean, we get all these different locations, kind of world hopping. What's that called? I can't even think of that. World hopping doesn't sound right. But flipping to the back, we have the locales of Broken Trinity Pandora's Box in many of the issues. I don't know that it's in all of them. We kind of get a rundown of these different locations and just what they're like. And I wouldn't mind if they were in the trade, but I get the feeling they won't be.
One more reason to jump on it, but it does. It starts off with Halden, Norway, and then Kobe, which is where Gloriana Silver is at the beginning of issue one. And then Kobayashi, Japan, which is where Michael Finnegan is at the beginning of issue one. And then Haifa, Israel, which is where the Disciples of Adam are located at the beginning of issue one. So it gives this a pretty good write-up of the starting locations of how, you know, where they began to all come to meet in Guatemala for the conclusion.
I need to go back and reread all these.
Yeah,
partially because I'm pretty sure, if I recall correctly, it was all intended to ship mostly before Artifacts was out. Obviously it hasn't. I'm not gonna cry and complain about it.
Takes us back to our comment about how
I do want to reread them all
in making a page.
Read them a bit kind of in the order that they were originally intended to be, just to kind of see. And I mean, I'll probably leave a bunch of stuff out, but it's the other thing about comics when it comes to crossovers. You can read, if you only want to read, say, a segment of a lead-up to something, like in this case, I'm thinking maybe in just one sitting I'll do Broken Trinity, Pandora's Box, being Broken Trinity Volume 2, and then Artifacts Volume 1. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I recommend that. It's fun. You know, it's one of those that Artifacts is a good series to read, and it's enjoyable. And I've heard some other podcasts and other reviews about how nice it is to see, you know, Cyberforce and Hunter Killer and all these other, and Witchblade and Darkness all coming together. But you really get a rich experience when you're able to get a hold of some of these lead-in books, which is really what this is. But hey, this is just, you know, like you have, if you've got a local comic shop, you get a chance to hang out and talk about books, and that's really what we're kind of extending into this show here. So we recommend it. We know that there are a few places you can find it digitally if your local comic shop can't get it, and also I believe the Top Cow website will be able to sell this to you, and as long as, I guess, supplies last. So give them a look and check it out. And then when you do, if you haven't read it yet, we're hoping that you've read it, and this is the recap. When you do, read it, and then come back and listen to this episode again, because that's kind of what the interaction is about. And if anything comes up with you, I don't care if this is 2012 or 2013, if you listen to it, we're really interested in any kind of nuance or information that you might be able to find. It's part of the fun interactive experience. Email us at any time at dtcpodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook. If you hit the like button, that'll hook you together with our page that we're going to update frequently, let you see the donuts and some of the things going on. Until then, have a great week.
Good journey.